so bad.
It is.
It was so bad.
The video. It's so bad.
It was like, you know how something makes your skin crawl? This did, like, my skin was not. My skin was actually crawling off my body and trying to find the closest shower. Oh, good God Almighty. It never even occurred to me that it's on YouTube. All right, let me look. M-A.
Yes, you've got to see the video. I told you about I used to have a secret obsession with watching CMT.
Oh, CMT is, I mean, there's some, oh, God, here's a still from it. Is this woman in the bubble bath?
Yes.
Oh, good God. All right.
And the really ugly guy with the blonde ponytail.
My computer turned down there. I'm going to queue this up while we're... I'm going to have this queue while we're doing this. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let me just say this, and I don't mean any disrespect to our sister station, KUPL 98.7, the biggest hits, the biggest stars. You know, I care for... even this guy. This guy whose song we're going to play here in a few, he's actually got some other songs that I actually either like in sort of a pop song kind of a way. And, you know, I'm not a... You know?
It's no honky tonk, but donkey donk.
You know, but here's the thing about that song. It sounds like you feel dumb saying it. The phrase honky tonk, but donkey donk, which I swear to God, I know it sounds like Shel Silverstein.
If you are getting ready to defend this song, you should stop talking.
What? No, I'm just saying, like, from a pure pop point of view. Like, it's nothing I would ever sit around to listen to.
Have you seen that video?
No, I haven't. Like,
it's so sad.
Like I sit around and watch CMT.
What's wrong with that?
No, I'm just saying I'm busy watching MTV hits so I can try to feign some sort of hipness. But that there is this song called... See, now I'm embarrassed to say it. It's called Honky Tonk... But is it Badonk-or Badonk-y? But donkey donk sounds like a sexual act of some kind. I'm thinking of something else. But I can understand how an A&R guy sits in the room and hears that and goes, that's a single. Like this guy, Trace Atkins, he's got another song called Swing. Have you heard that one? It's the Swing Batter Swing.
No, I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about words that sound sexual that aren't.
Like badonky donk?
No, because Delaine, when she came to visit me, she brought a banana. She's like, I have a Wenatchee banana.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So we've been trying to think of what a Wenatchee banana is. Oh,
we please now not to be calling and suggesting. We do not want to know your suggestions for what a Wenatchee banana might be. That really is fantastic. It sounds like the whole show's on volume today, not just me.
I know.
God, we all sound just high as paper kites. Anyway, so we're going to talk to Gary Baumgart in like 5 seconds here, but I just got to say, I swear to God, I was in the bathroom just now, which, that's where I hear most of the country music, because they pipe in our sister station right into the men's room. So I'm in the bathroom just now, and I heard a song just so jaw-droppingly, staggeringly, unbelievably, irredeemably, indisputably awful. And I immediately went to the band. I'm like, can I play the song? Do you mind? Because I wanted to get his permission. I didn't want to be, it's like I'm bagging on the station. So he told me to go ahead. So we're going to play this song here just a few, and good God Almighty, is it terrible. Before we do anything further, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
New York City, oh yeah. New York City, I love. New York City, oh yeah.
Wenatchee banana. Ladies and gentlemen, from the city that never sleeps, a living deity, Gary Baumgarten. How are you, sir?
I am wonderful, and how are you?
I have a little bit of a residual drug defect going on today. Other than that, everything is fantastic.
Oh, you sound kind of enjoying yourself a little bit too much today.
We are all kind of, if I didn't know better, I'd say that they were piping some sort of a nitrous leak leaching right here into the studio, my friend.
Yeah, I know, giggles even when you're off the air.
Oh, man, it's just, well, I was, long story, I said it'd belabor the story to everybody, but I had the kind of a medical procedure done this weekend, and so they just doped me to the gills on Valium and Vicodin.
Uh-huh.
At the same time, and I swear to God, the doctor's instruction was, because normally when the doctor gives you, you know, they'll give you things that are contraindicated.
Yeah.
In other words, they will say, look, here's some antibiotics and here's whatever, a horse tranquilizer. Try not to take these. And by the way, don't drink any vodka.
Right.
But this, he gives me the Vicodin and he gives me the Valium. And he says, now you want to take these together. And I was trying to correct him. I'm like, no, doctor, you mean don't take them together. And he says, no. You'll want to go back to your room and take these at the same time. It's like, you don't have to tell me twice. So I'm just like, you're the doctor, whatever, you know. And so I'm immediately just stopped at the store to buy a selection of snack foods. And, man, I turned the deadbolt, and it was a whole lot of me staring at a wall, finding it absolutely fascinating for about the next 12 hours.
So now you know why it took you so long to get an appointment at this with this highly recommended physician.
Oh, man. It was just so, yeah. And that was, I don't know, 10, 12, 16 hours ago, something like that. But I don't take prescription drugs very often because I do have a particular sensitivity to them, I have learned.
Yeah.
And that's very evident on a day like today where I haven't actually had any in a while, but I am still floating along on a pink pharmaceutical cloud of fluffy happiness.
There you go.
So, anywho, well, let's talk about a couple things. First and foremost, let's talk about CBGBs, which is now CBGBs, and I will give you bonus points right now, Gary Baumgarten. In fact, maybe I should use this as a giveaway mechanism. Nah, I'll just ask you. I will give you bonus points if you can tell me, A, the full name of CBGBs, because it is actually CBGB and then some other letters, and if you can tell me what those letters stand for, I will have your face tattooed onto one of my shoulders tomorrow.
Do you have a crash and burn sound effect you can play?
Wait.
I do not know.
Wait, hold on. Let's see. Crash and burn sound effect. I have Connie Chung. Hold on. Oh, it's me. Turn my...
Thank you.
There you go. That's all we have is Connie Chung.
That's about as crashing and burning as you're going to find.
CBGBOMFUG, which stands for Country Bluegrass Blues and Other Music for Universal Gormandizers.
I never knew that.
That is the full Universal Gormandizers, founded by a guy named Hilly Crystal. And
yeah.
It's not like I'm some the punk historian or something. It's a legendary place. The Ramones play there, Blondie, Talking Heads,
yep.
Television, and it is gone. It's gone, gone, gone.
Yep, Patty Smith did the last show last night and into the wee hours of this morning, and now they're shuttered forever. The rumor is they're going to take it apart brick by brick and reconstruct it in Vegas alongside the replica of the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, that ain't right. That's just wrong, you know. And it's not like I'm some weird. Well, I guess I am a rock and roll purist. I mean, I was going to say that I'm not some weird pie-eyed true believer, but you know what? I really am. And it's just wrong. Look, I think it's sad that CBGB's closes, and it bums me out. And it is such a legendary, iconic place, and it's the birthplace of so much great music. But I mean, man, just let it go. I mean, the idea that they're going to, because that's what they did with the Cavern Club, which is of course where the Beatles, you know, so many places. So many legendary shows. They took the Cavern Club apart brick by brick, and then they rebuilt it like someplace else with different bricks, even.
Yeah.
Not even the same freaking bricks, and they put it back together.
The other one that has been on the precipice of falling off the edge like that is the Stone Pony, where
Springsteen.
Springsteen, yeah.
You know,
it's been saved. I don't know how many times it has been saved. So.
It would have been, and CBGB's, correct me if I'm wrong, but that is on Joey Ramone, what is it, Way? Joey Ramone Plaza?
I guess they named some of the streets several names, and that's what they've
said
honorifically, yeah.
Were they just in debt? I mean, why couldn't
they? No, they were a victim of New York's success. The cost of the property, the value of the property has, you know, it was in the Bowery. If you remember the Bowery Boys, that was really a down and out neighborhood. It was perfect actually for punk rock and punk rockers and, you know, people who wanted to go there and soak in the atmosphere. Well, it's no longer like that. New York has been Disneyfied, and the prices are so high that the landlord wanted to double the rent, and he just couldn't afford it. So
So he's going to be packing up. Do you say it's going to be in Vegas? It's not going to be next to that the Hard Rock, is it?
They said it was. They were supposedly putting it up next to the Statue of Liberty thing.
I
guess they have that New York. Casino.
There is just this real high fidelity part of me, though, that I mean, you know, that rock and roll is not supposed to be enshrined. It's not supposed to be in a museum. It's not supposed to be glittery. It's not supposed to be preserved. It's not supposed to be put behind glass, you know? It's at the risk of just sounding, again, like I've come down with a galloping case of true believeritis. I mean, it's just, you know, it's an organic thing, man. You just got to let the past be the past sometimes. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, it is an end of an era. There's no question about that.
You know, the thing about it is, though, and you are really able to talk about this because, of course, somebody who is in New York, somebody who lives very close to that area, and you know, it's days like this when we really realize how lucky we are to have you there as a correspondent. And you know, and the fact that, you know, I frankly, if you were to ever leave, I think that this show would really be we would be bereft. And I think probably we would suffer an almost immediate and substantial decline in both ratings and revenue were you to ever not be available.
He would
to
never
us.
Do that to us.
No, well, but see, I say all this knowing that it would never happen because I know that you care deeply about us and that your journalistic integrity would never allow the Rick Emerson Show to be left behind.
This has Lisa Goddard written all over it.
I have no, I don't know any.
Oh, you're protecting your sources now, are you?
I don't know. No, I don't know from Lisa Goddard.
Listen, are you air checking this? Because that was such a wonderful spiel there. I would love to have it.
It doesn't sound like you need it, my friend. Sounds like you already got a gig lined up somewhere.
A gig lined up, yes.
So now are you able to talk about this?
Sure. Able to talk about it?
All right. What's that?
I said, are you able to talk about it? Yeah, I'm able to talk about it. It's public knowledge. I'm leaving CNN Radio with mixed emotions to become news and programming director for PalTalk.com, which is a voiceover IP program which forms communities all around the world. Very, very cool thing where people get together and they talk both in text and in voice, and they publish a video and they talk about whatever interests them. It could be music, it could be politics, it could be religion, it could be any kind of thing. And it's a community of about 4 million people, and it's all user-generated content. And what they wanted to do is bring in some kind of professional content, some credibility to the program, some headliners to the program, and they've been after me to do it. And finally I said, okay, I will. So I'm going to be providing content, and I'm actually going to have a one-hour-long talk show, not like yours, a little more esoteric than yours. Yours is far more fun than mine.
A little more esoteric than this program. The mind reels.
But what's really exciting about it is I'm going to have callers coming in from all around the world. So it's a very global perspective on things. And, you know, and on a serious note, with all the things that you and I talk about sometimes that are going on in the world, all the horrific trouble spots in the Middle East, the problem with the nuclear development in North Korea and with Iran and all, you don't hear the peoples from those nations and us and others in the West talking to one another. We're all calling each other names, or we're afraid of one another. And this really gives an opportunity for people to, I mean, we're not going to change the course of world events, but it'll give us an opportunity to talk to one another and listen to one another and maybe understand one another a little bit better. And maybe we'll have a better understanding of each other than our respective leaders do, Frank.
Well, you know what, Gary? All kidding aside, and we'll talk more about this, I'm sure, as we kind of count. And when is your final day? The 26th?
The 26th, yeah. We'll on the 30th over there.
You know, we'll talk more about that. But I got to say, my friend, you know, as much as we poke fun at everybody sometimes, I got to say that I am not the only one in this conversation that has sort of the galloping case of being a true believer sometimes. And that's one of the things that always sets you apart and makes you great, my friend. So,
well, I appreciate
although
that.
I do have to note, I did note the subtle way in which you interjected where you said, well, Rick, they were looking for somebody to add weight and credibility, and so of course me, Gary Baumgarten.
Well, I hope they haven't misjudged. You know, I hope I bring to them what they want. I think I will. Really excited about it, frankly, because it'll just give me a more global perspective, which is something that I've been reaching for the longest time.
No, it's fine. And you know what? And feel free to speak openly. Look, what do I care? What am I not going to get invited to Laura's wedding? I mean, seriously, what am I risking? Now the question is made not to be already putting curtains in the Oval Office, as they used to say. But do you know now? Are you going to be? Is there going to be somebody temporary in your stead? Somebody filling in? Is everybody kind of step up a place in line? How's that work?
Oh well, they're searching for a person. If you're interested in the job, I can recommend you.
I was just thinking that we get everybody else. You know, we get Roop, we get Lisa. You know, we get the McCarthy. Put them all in a room somewhere. You know, with a gun and a bottle of whiskey, and then we just come back in like a week, and whoever's there, you know, they get the gig.
That's right. That you can do it that way. Well, I'm sure. I mean, there are so few choice radio network jobs left anymore in this country, which is a whole another topic about the number of journalists has decreased, especially in radio. That I'm sure they're going to be beating a path at the door once the word is out.
All right. Well, my friend, we will be talking to you as the days tick down toward your departure from CNN. But I'll say right now here at the top, just having kind of broken this news that you're going to be leaving, that you will be missed, Gary Baumgarten. And
we will be missed on my end as well.
As they say in the corporate world, although they usually don't mean it, we do wish you well in your future endeavors. And we will be following whatever you do. Let me just, as a completely unrelated side note.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to sum up some of your other fellow CNN employees in just a handful of words, say Ed McCarthy or Lisa Goddard, if you were just to sum them up with a handful of adjectives, what might those adjectives be? I mean, purely for purely theoretical purposes.
Theoretically speaking?
Yes.
I got to tell you that Ed McCarthy is the greatest guy you could ever think of working with. He is the funniest person. He and Rube have got just great senses of humor. And I have never seen a guy go into a situation like Ed McCarthy has and just win everybody over. Anytime I've relieved him at a story that's stretched on and on, I walk up after he leaves and I walk into the situation and I introduce myself, Gary Baumgarten from CNN Radio, and they say, well, where's Ed McCarthy? I mean, it's like, well, now what do I do, you know? they're so sad that he's gone. And I think that Lisa has been just a tremendous addition to our staff. I think everybody thinks, you know, she's fairly new with us. She came from the Associated Press, which has a real good tradition of solid journalistic integrity, and I'm pleased that CNN, when they hired the new person for Washington, they found somebody with that kind of a background, and I'm sure they're going to hold the same standards when it comes to replacing me.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We will talk to you soon. Gary Baumgarten. All right, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Gary Baumgarten. Oh, and she just dropped.
Oh, darn it.
Oh. Scotty, am I allowed? Can I say this now? Can I mention it now? All right, so Lisa, oh, she just dropped, too. So Lisa Goddard, and I didn't have a chance to mention this before we picked up Baumgarten. So Lisa Goddard was there. She was eavesdropping. She was eavesdropping there. She was on one of the other lines, and I meant to pick her up. Boy, and as soon as I said that thing about, why don't you describe some of your fellow anchors, I realized as she's sitting there listening in, and I was just waiting for him to go like, well, that Lisa Goddard, she could use a bath, or just something hideous. I just knew as soon as I asked him that he was going to say something to her, and then he didn't. He was very gracious, though. I realized the danger, though, of asking him to weigh in. All right, 503-733-2970. Well, there you go. So Gary Baumgarten taking his leave of us in a couple of weeks. All right, 503-733-2970. Let's just take a break. We'll come back with Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. We've got a new ad hoc installment of It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. Coming up later on, we'll try to nail down the top five. We got Jim Roop, who's going to be joining us. Peter Carlin as well. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up later on today, going to give away a pair of tickets to that Al Gore presentation about the how we're all going to die and so forth. We got this from Tim Riley about laugh tracks. Laugh track free. There's a little entry about this in Wikipedia. This is what I was talking about. This is in MASH. MASH is where the laugh track makes the least amount of sense. Because it's outdoors for most, where there could conceivably be no studio audience. And then, of course, then there's the whole issue of laugh tracks being used in cartoons, which is like raising the surrealism to a whole new level.
And Hanna-Barbera had their own laugh tracks. They didn't use the regular laugh.
In-house?
Yeah.
I wonder if those guys have got to still be alive. Joseph Hanna and William blah, blah, blah.
Well, you know, one of them is dead.
What about Sherwood Schwartz? Finally dead?
Oh, no, he's still around. I thought I saw something on him recently.
Maybe. Sherwood Schwartz is like... Okay, because Aaron Spelling did die. He finally died a couple months ago, right? Sherwood Schwartz, though, here's the thing about him. As Jim said, there's some guys that you remember, and the way you... It's like a mnemonic device. The way you remember them is that you catch yourself because you always think they're dead, and then they're not, like Abe Vigoda. He's the perfect example of that. Anyway, but they're noting that Larry Gelbart, creator of the TV series MASH, said he initially wanted to air the show without a laugh track, but it was rejected by the CBS TV network. Eventually, a compromise was reached. A laugh track was omitted from all operating room sequences on the show. Same thing with Sports Night, actually. If you go back and you watch season one of Sports Night, it was the show filmed completely without a laugh track. It with no studio audience, nobody there. is not meant to have a laugh track. But of course, the problem with the thing is the laugh track was created because studio audiences, studio television executives believe that you are stupid. Television studios, people, television producers, people who make TV shows believe that largely that you are ignorant sheep and that you won't know something is funny unless it's indicated that it's funny, which is why they'll put a laugh track on things. So you take Sports Night. Everybody knows my feelings about that. One of the most sublimely and well-written, most well-written shows of it. One of the most well-written sitcoms, period, ever. One of the best-written shows of the last 10 years. But, of course, they had no faith in the audience to know when something was funny. And so they then took the finished, completed product and just jammed a laugh track on top of it for no reason. Just, like, stuck it in. Just shoehorned it in at the last minute. Whole thing was a freaking sacrilege. All right, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth, it's your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A cat starts a house fire and a dog saves the owner. From Ryan, Wisconsin comes word. A cat in Wisconsin started this fire. A specially trained dog helped bring rescuers. The disabled woman who owned both these animals sustained third-degree burns on her arm. The cat and the dog... didn't make it, unfortunately. The fire started when the cat knocked over a candle in the home. That then the dog then brought the woman her phone, and she called for help.
Okay, but see, right here, could you, this is a microcosm of the whole thing, where the cat tries to kill the owner, and the dog selflessly gives its own life to save the human. That's exactly, right there, that is the entire relationship between those three species, writ small.
A Guilford, New Hampshire police dog fell from a second-story window while searching for a robbery suspect, but he still got the suspect. Police say Michael Maud pulled the knife on the driver of a car in which he was a passenger, forcing her off the road, stealing her purse. Police called in their dog, Angbar, to track him, but Angbar fell from a second-story window while on the hunt, but was not hurt, and led officers to Maud, who was arrested outside his apartment. Meanwhile... the Arkansas State Fair says an 18-year-old who wants to show calves this week can't because he didn't graduate from high school. The show rules say junior competitors have to have a high school diploma. The young man will appear.
And this is where?
This is in Arkansas.
Yeah, you really got to get that diploma there so you can get that job in the spindle factory.
A 15-year-old driver in Daytona Beach, Florida, arrested today after he crashed into a police car.
Oh, damn you! Ow! Oh.
And then through a mall store after getting in a fight with his passengers over which radio station to listen to.
Fantastic.
Apparently they weren't listening to 107.5, the station that makes them feel good. Investigators said the four teens in a sport utility vehicle got in a fight over the radio station. The teen kicked out the other three and began to joyride around the mall and taunt the other teens and throw through the window of the store.
Here's the thing about that. Where was that at?
Somewhere in Florida.
The thing about that move-in, which again, that was the station that they had on in the operating room when I was getting the medical hair restoration done. And again, maybe the move-in format sounds a little different in Seattle than it does here. It did seem distinctly urban, though. It did have a smooth chocolatey flavor to it.
And well, this one did, but it was like a lot of Whitney Houston and Aretha Franklin and like a lot of like girl music.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, maybe it's because I was high, but again, the station seemed pretty good, but you realize how many one-hit wonders come out of that kind of music, this sort of novelty rap thing, because it was like they played You Can't Touch This, and they played Word Up by Cameo, a lot of Paula Abdul for some, like Paula Abdul songs that I hadn't even heard, like Opposites Attract, that I hadn't heard for years. Which is like a duet with whatever.
Or like Cold Hearted Snake.
Cold, yeah. And I just remember Opposites Attract was one where she's singing with the animated cat in the video. And then they put, God, a song that was embarrassing then when I was 16, which is even more embarrassing now, which is that hideous Push It song by Salt and Pepper. You want us to talk about a song that just, there's something really, really off-putting and really oogie about that. Not as badly as, it doesn't do as badly as the song that we're going to play here in a while. But it was not bad, actually. It added a little extra pep to my day.
A South Carolina fifth grade teacher allowed 5 students, a boy and 4 girls, to use a trash can as a toilet.
I'm sorry.
Ram Fodanto gave the students permission to use the trash can Tuesday. 3 students lined up with jackets to shield the view while the other students stood on the opposite wall with their backs turned.
Was this like a reward for something? If we're really good, can we go in the trash can? Why? I don't understand. How far away could a bathroom possibly be? Just to amuse themselves?
It's unclear.
We all got allergies today. We all got that same thing.
I better step out and get a little drink of water. I'll be right back. I sound like Marge Simpson.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. Oh, that's a terrible thing. I'm sorry. We shouldn't have laughed just then. Okay. Well, while Tim is stepping out, actually... It really was funny. Well, Tim is stepping out. Let's take this phone call really quickly. It's our good friend Scott Daly. Scott Daly, what's up, brother?
Hey, how are you, sir?
What is up with you? You got a thing going on at Dante's tonight.
Yeah. We've been graciously invited by the original Harry Scary guy, Clyde Lewis, to join him on stage at Dante's tonight. We're not only going to be talking about the cursed films such as The Omen and Rosemary's Baby and the really weird stuff that happened after production, during and after, but still kind of continue to happen today. We're going to be doing that as well as recording our show. So this week's episode of Film Fever Radio will be recorded from Dante's live tonight.
Excellent. So
we're really excited about that. Excited to have Clyde let us be part of the game. And really looking forward to it. So I just wanted to call and say, hey, hope everyone comes out and sees us. It'll be a lot of fun. And
I can't believe you have Salty to singing songbook.
Yeah, let's
for your picture. That is so weird. Yeah. I haven't said that the word Salty the Singing Songbook in like 10 years.
Let's talk about this for a second. I don't even remember how we got on the subject. It was in the news hour. Tim was talking about Dr. James Dobson, who's this nutcase Christian.
Right.
Who he puts out these incredibly like weird right-wing zealotist books about like don't touch yourself or the guy with the horns and the stick will poke you for all eternity. You'll get the Wenatchee banana. And then that led Sarah to talk about Salty the Singing
Songbook,
which is like some weird, like ghetto low rent Christian mascot who teaches you all about the sins of what?
About loving Jesus.
About loving Jesus.
I may or may not know. I was raised in a Christian Science household.
Oh, so do you have like an arm that's broken in like a bunch of places that didn't heal right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Scars on my head from not being healed correctly, all that stuff. Yeah. But the subject of Salty the Singing Psalm came up on our show last week, and we were talking about horror films. We were talking about our first introduction to horror films, and Aaron was talking about how his intro to horror films was kind of later in his childhood, because the first part of his childhood he was just listening to Salty the Singing Psalm, and I stopped him and said, dude, what in the hell are you talking about? What is Salty the Singing Psalm? And so we got this whole conversation about Salty, and we had to put a picture of Salty on our MySpace. So the Film Fever Radio MySpace page now has a photo of the Salty the Singing
Psalm.
It's just
bizarre.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen or heard of in my life.
It's just like one of those things that it's a combination of crap that doesn't make any sense. Like, it's a book, but his name is Salty. But
the funniest thing is that I was looking at the picture, and my son came up to my computer, and he goes, Daddy, what is that?
There was just no way to explain it.
His name is Salty the Singing Song, Cooper. I don't know what else to tell you about it.
There you go. All right,
it's pretty amazing. And this weekend, Clyde was also talking about the unveiling of Burger Cake. And this weekend, we recorded our Film Fever commentary, our second drunken commentary with Evil Dead 2, which will be up and available this Thursday.
Tim Riley will be excited to know that Burger Cake will be available everywhere soon.
It's very exciting stuff. And Clyde unveiled Burger Cake, and it was pretty amazing, let me tell you.
Well, when you come in this Friday, let's not forget to talk about the Army of Darkness. I keep saying that. The Evil Dead 2 commentary.
Yeah,
guys,
definitely.
Excellent.
And we'll have lots of Aaron Bachelor Party stories to talk about too this Friday.
When is that happening?
Thursday night, dude.
Oh, my head hurts already just thinking.
Come on.
About it.
Yeah, right. We won't let you forget.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone, come out.
Nothing turns on a stripper like having a scabbed up head.
Good, creepy film discussion.
Yeah.
So,
all right, Scott Daly, ladies and gentlemen, see you in the night at the Ground Zero Lounge. Thank you, sir.
See ya.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I think you guys could have been talking over each other more.
No, my do-rag is going to get all the hot girly love. That's what that's going to be all about.
You can't miss Aaron's bachelor party.
No.
You got to go.
I'm just going to do another Wenatchee banana thing, but we'll get... You know, in what context did she just present an actual banana to you and say, I have a Wenatchee banana?
She's just, you know, trying to sell Wenatchee all the time. So she was talking about how Wenatchee has the best apples in the world. And she's like, oh, nothing's like Wenatchee apples. She's like, I had I was going to bring you some apples, but I ate them. And she's like, but I brought this banana. And then I said, oh, Wenatchee banana. And then we just started, And ever since then, like every day, I say it at least 10 times.
Fantastic. That is the phrase of the day. We're going to begin using that constantly. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, return, hopefully, more invoice. You know, there is something about this studio. And not just this studio, but we've mentioned it's also the studio next door to us because we share an air system with a couple people. Alana, who goes in there every morning, she sounds fine. And then she walks in there and suddenly it's, and then it's like you get the puffy eyes and the bleeding out of the ears. And so forth. All right,
we get our air last. They start on the 31st floor. And we get the fumes.
they're passing it on down.
You're fine if you're in the penthouse.
So Paul Allen gets the really good air. But everybody else just sort of takes their own hit off of it. And we're at the end of the chain.
So getting back to this trash can toilet. This fifth grade teacher in trouble for letting the students relieve themselves in it. School district spokesman Jerry Adams said as much privacy was given as possible. He also says students were given sanitary wipes.
Oh, a sanitary wipe is a completely unpleasant phrase.
Not for South Carolina.
No, I guess not. I guess really in South Carolina, the cleaner you can get things, the better. Oh, good God almighty. All right. Let's do one more from that pile, and then I'm going to read this story. Because it doesn't make any sense. And so we need to... But I want to kind of do it inside this news section. Let's do one more from that pile there.
Well, a surveillance video captured an attempted robbery in Gresham yesterday when a man threatened a clerk with what he said was a bomb. The clerk said this man gave him a note that the man gave him during the robbery attempt. The suspect walks onto the counter of a 7-Eleven convenience store carrying beer and gave a note to the clerk. He said he had a bomb in the bag and wanted the money now. It's even scribbled here on this little note. The clerk said he refused to give the man any money, and then he grabbed the cash register and display cases and threw them across the room. It was all cut on tape. He was throwing things, everything, every single thing. There is nothing right down there. Police evacuated the restaurant next door and closed off streets until the suspect was captured. The man, whose name has not yet been released, was taken in by police to a local psychiatric hospital for evaluation. The 7-Eleven where this occurred... Well, do we have to make their lives even worse? Is that East Burnside near 188th Avenue?
Okay, there you go.
So bomb in bag.
Bomb in bag, you give money now, me hate life.
It's not even a whole piece of paper.
Oh, this is how it begins. We've got this email. Rick, I just heard you using the phrase Wenatchee banana. What the hell are you talking about? Is this something I should try with my girlfriend tonight? Well, I don't know, sir. That really is between you and the God of your choice. All right. So I'm going to read this story. Now, this was sent to me by our good friend Chris Sneathen, who works for OregonLive.com. He sent me this article, and it was from the Wisconsin State Journal. This is in, what's his name? Nate's from Wisconsin, right?
He is.
All right. So... He sent me this article. I read the article, and I emailed him back, and I just said back, I swear to God, this is what I did. I emailed back, and I just said, WTF. I was like, what the hell? His response, I know I'm getting this all out of order, but he sent me the article. I read it and didn't understand it. And I emailed back, and I'm like, what is this about? He emails back and says this. Something happened last week at the University of Wisconsin band bus that was so bad that the university forbade anyone from discussing it. And here's the article. This is from the Wisconsin State Journal. Now listen, now note how curious this article becomes when you realize that at no point do they tell you what they're actually talking about. This is from the Wisconsin State Journal from Madison, from the Associated Press. University of Wisconsin-Madison has put its marching band on probation, and Chancellor John Wiley is threatening to suspend band activities and travel if members won't behave. Quote, we felt it was important to make it absolutely clear that this behavior needed to stop or significant consequences will follow, end quote. Now, I have removed nothing from this story. I read it from the beginning. UW-Madison has put its marching band on probation, Chancellor John Wiley threatening to suspend band activities and travel if members won't behave. Quote, we felt it was important to make it absolutely clear that this behavior, which they do not identify, needed to stop or significant consequences were going to follow, said Casey Nagy, special assistant to Wiley. UW-Madison is not releasing details on what happened during the bus trip to the September 23rd game against the University of Michigan. Wiley described the behavior in an October 3rd letter to the band director as behavior, quote, that can be seen as anything from boorish and offensive to patently dangerous and unlawful, end quote.
Whoa.
This is the band we're talking about. This is not the team,
somebody
not the cheerleaders.
Somebody has leaked it onto the internet.
But this is fascinating. And that's where Sneathan sent it to me, and I emailed back, and I'm like, what is going on? And that's what he said. He's like, as he noted, that's the thing. There's something that happened at the University of Wisconsin, and again, with the band. And you don't typically think of the high school band as being a bunch of out-of-control hellions. Wiley warned in the letter he would consider suspending activities and travel of the band or replacing its leadership if there were more reports of, quote, gratuitous behavior of this kind. I say this, he says, I do not feel I have a choice. We either solve this problem now and the band you have built to such proportion survives, or we look at the virtual extinction of this program for a significant period of time. The university released the letter labeled personal and confidential on Wednesday. He declined to discuss specific behavior, but said that band leaders were trying to reinforce the message that all members share responsibility. Members of the band, which includes more than 300 students, have been known for high-spirited camaraderie that includes pranks, inside jokes, and nicknames for newcomers that may stay with you for life. Recent behavior, however, drew several reports that prompted Wiley to summon band members to the Waisman Center. According to the letter, he met with band members individually to confidentially discuss this behavior.
See, I can't believe you're surprised by this, because I would think that the band members would be the biggest freaks. Like, you know, just like sexually repressed kids, you know, like go to college after like being in band for years, and then like all these girls who want to get action too.
But the thing is, what's so fascinating is that something happened that they won't describe. That's what's so great about it, and this is what Sneathan's response is. He says, this is the thing, Rick. Something happened last week on the University of Wisconsin band bus so bad that the university forbade anyone from discussing it. And they put everyone on double secret probation. I suspect a flugelhorn, he says. So there you go.
I have new details.
Now, are these details describing what happened?
Yes.
All right. Should we break? Should we make people wait?
We should come
back
at 2 o'clock.
All right. I'll tell you what. Let's break here. We'll come back. We'll do the top of the hour visit to the Ministry of Truth, and we will have details on this. You stay there. Later on, Jim Roop, Peter Carlin, and we'll give away a pair of tickets to the Al Gore presentation next hour as well. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland on AM 970, Solid State Radio.